But you stayed at home and you went into the paper mills, and was it in the beginning of the '60s sometime, or was it around, or was it in the '50s?
Be about 60 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, when you go back that far.
Yeah.
Because I was.
Imagine that was in the early '50s then.
Yeah, it would be.
So, what did you? What did you go in doing first?
In Roundtree's.
No, in the mills.
Oh, when I went in first, the way you went into the mill there, you used to have what they call the pulp squad. The pulp boat, the boats used to come in with loads of pulp as a base for the paper. And you were hired, those groups of people hired to do that work. Now, it only lasts 3 weeks maybe. Strangely enough, they used to make sure it didn't last much more than 4 weeks because they'd have to give you a day's holiday. That's the way it's a day a month, you know, this sort of way. So they'd probably knock you off before the month and then bring you back again, you know, this type of thing. Anyway, the job, people were given permanent jobs from the squad. You know, they'd pick so many people.
Mm-hmm.
If they needed them to go into the factory proper. That's how you started off. So, and then you could be at anything until you'd be at a fixture of a job. You know, it could be in the cleaning end of it.
Yeah.
Things like that, you know, you could be supplying the beaten loft, as they call it, where the whole process starts of making paper. But you would eventually be shifted. Someone would be out sick or something, and then you ended up with a permanent job in one end of it. I happened to end up on the transport.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know?
And you went in really as a driver, didn't you?
No.
You weren't going down to the docks collecting the pulp?
Oh, yeah, but there's helpers.
Oh, you were a helper going down
initially
to the docks?
Initially helper. Yeah. And ended up driving.
What did that entail, going down to the docks? Like, how did the pulp come off the boats, and how did you manage to get them in?
Well, you see, the pulp, we didn't collect the pulp. It was LEP Transport. There's different people, and they'd hire people with trucks.
And you were a hired hand, so were you?
No,
yeah.
We didn't collect the pulp. What we did was unload it and stack it.
In the mill,
that's right. Yeah.
I see. So that was your job, waiting in the mills, waiting for the pulp to come off the trucks.
That's it.
And
we'd stack it. There was one each side of the bales. The bales were quite heavy, you know. But,
yeah.
And we stacked them like steps of stairs until you got to a certain height.
Mm-hmm.
And then you squared it off then if you can, you know. But
was that manually? No, without any.
It was
any
manually, yes. It was manually. Yeah. That's what I say, like it was manual. And then it ended up then, it got modernised. They had, as well as having forklifts, they had these grabs. Do you know the grabs? Yeah. And they just lift up 3 or 4 bales at a time. That done away with the squad, the stacking of the pulp.
You were left redundant then after.
Well, you weren't needed for that end of things. Yeah. Far you were driving a forklift or something, you know.
Yeah. Did you join a union when you were there?
Oh, yes, yes.
What union?
Transport and General Workers Union. The Irish Transport General Workers Union. And the Workers Union of Ireland was in there also.
Yeah.
So there was a choice of, well, they used to be vying with each other to see which union. Some new person to come in, and they'd hop on them like a ton of bricks to join their union, you know. But as I say, we had a 19-week strike, and the basis of the 19-week strike is management wanted to bring in continuous operation. It's a continuous shift situation, no weekends, no, you know, and that's what the strike was all over. that caused the 19 week strike.
And were you very active? You were a shop steward there, were you?
Yes, yeah.
And were you active? I mean, did you, were you were involved in these meetings?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah.
So tell me about that time.
Well, there was nothing to tell, really. It's just that we were, it was a long strike. You know, 19 week strike is an awful long time to be out of work, you know.
And were you trying to do anything to bring the workers
back
in?
Oh, we were, sure. We were the Labour Court, and we were forever having meetings and everything else.
Meetings about meetings.
Yeah, well, like with the management as well, trying to solve the problem. And we ended up after 19 week strike, we went back. And this continuous operation was more or less agreed.
After all that.
And
but why didn't you make that compromise at a much earlier stage?
There was a lot more to it than that. You see, there was so much to change. The management, more or less, on for a regular rate of pay. There were no premium rates. They were incorporated weekend premium rates, which used to end up double time.
Yeah.
From Saturday through to Sunday night. Do you know, like, that'd be double time for working them hours. Well, that was to be done away with. There was to be no premium times. Mm. Because people would be more inclined, I suppose, to use that. You could nearly get a week's wages out of 2 days with double time.
Yeah.
So, like, they spread an even keel all over the week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And a continuous operation. There was an awful lot more involved because this guy, an actuary, was brought over from Scotland. Harbert was his name.
As a mediator, was it?
Now, to discuss all the different systems.
That could be used.
This continuous operation.
Yes.
You can do it. There's so many different ways you can do it. You can do it with 12-hour shifts or you with 6-hour shifts. And, you know, for argument's sake, they do it in the gas company. I don't know whether they do it now or not, but they used to. And they used to work 6-hour shifts.
Yeah.
Now, you had less time off, but you never worked more than 6 hours.
Yeah.
Whereas now, we ended up doing 12 hours.
Yeah.
Now, at one stage, you could be doing 12 hours for maybe 6 days. But then you'd have a few days off after that. No, different systems of working.
Workers were coming up to you and asking you to try and sort this out.
Oh, well, of course they were, but the strange thing about it was...
What about McDermott? Were you dealing with him?
I was dealing with McDermott, yeah. He was a very genuine man. And they were always trying. Paddy Dunigan wanted closure, but fair play to Mick McDermott. He was more that we get our pound of flesh, you know, that sort of way. So there was a few different things involved, like an increase in salary and... which way we run this continuous operation. And it did come in, actually, and it was running all right for a while. But then the whole thing went belly up.
And in hindsight now, looking back at all of that time,
yeah,
do you think it was worth it?
It wasn't. You could say it wasn't, and you could say it was. It wasn't in as much as... Like, we lost 19 weeks. Management didn't seem to be too helpful about it. They were dogmatic about it. And that's really what caused the strike, I think. If there would have been a bit of leeway, you know, and people were so used to coming in on Saturday and Sunday. Like, having that time off.
Okay, so both sides were entrenched.
No, yeah. That's the usual thing with strikes, you know, like...
Yeah.
In the heel of the hunt, it has to be solved.
Of course it does. Yeah.
And everyone knows that, but for some reason, we don't reason it out until you get a bite of this thing and you realise you can't go on that way forever.
Yeah. It's interesting.